McDaniel, Charles. Sunnyside, Currumbong, New South Wales, Australia. April 21, 1900. Charles McDaniel Trevor Hall, Rochester, New York. Dear friend, there is much work to do for the Master in every land. As teachers and preachers and physicians, we need wise men, men who will be guarded, who will keep the principles of truth ever before them. There should not be on the part of students such a desire to economize their time that the principles of truth will be sacrificed. Students should guard against being a penny wise and a pound foolish. Students who are not wise in the wisdom of God, who throw the weight of their influence on the side of the enemy, should be closely studied. Those who do not choose the way of the Lord, who do not see any beauty in Christ, who see no cause for gratitude to Him who loved them that He gave His life to save them eternal death, will so conduct themselves that their influence will be a snare to those with whom they associate. Such youth should be the subjects of special labor. I would say to you, my brother, that the word of God is not yea and nay, but yea and amen in Christ. Scholastic attainments will not give you the experience which will prepare you for your present life or for the future life. By studious application, book knowledge may be gained by those of ordinary ability, but the most diligent student may fail of acquiring the education essential for self-training and for the training of other minds. If we would work wisely and intelligently, our human passions, our hereditary and cultivated tendencies, must be brought under control of a higher and more commanding generalship than human ability. This we must do if we would successfully guard against doing those things which will grow into evils too large to be harnessed up to duty. It is a nice point to know how to adjust matters aright, how to so harness up the powers of mind and body in the service of Christ, that no bribe or inducement of any kind will be sufficient to lead the mind to consent to actions about which there is any doubt as to their uprightness. Cease to do evil. Learn to do well. Isaiah 1, verse 16-17. This is the lesson everyone should learn day by day. The training due to oneself comes first. The influence exerted by a life of strict integrity will be a continual education to others. Those who are restrained and guided by the moral and religious principles plainly laid down in God's Word walk in accordance with the mind and will of God, who is too wise to err and too good to do us harm. If you would walk wisely, walk in the way of God's commandments. The word of God you have in your keeping, right at hand. This word is so plain that none need go astray unless they allow themselves to be led by their hereditary and cultivated tendencies to wrong. Your Redeemer met Satan's treacherous advances with the words, "It is written," and with the imperative command, "Get thee behind me, Satan." Luke 4, verse 4, 8, 10. I counsel you to receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your soul. The word of God is your haven. It is a tower of strength, into which you may run and be safe. In regard to marriage, I would say, read the word of God. Even in this time, the last days of this world's history, marriages take place among Seventh-day Adventists. Believers are not to marry unbelievers. This is God's injunction, and no human advice contrary to this should be accepted. There is need of close searching of the Word of God and of obedience to "It is written." We have, as a people, never forbidden marriage, except in cases where there were obvious reasons that marriage would be misery to both parties. And even then, we have only advised and counseled. In regard to this question, I would remind you that I am far away from you. Thousands of miles interpose between us. But there is a counselor who is close by you, at hand, and not afar off. I advise that earnest supplication be made to God by both parties. Then, if there seems to be no obstacle in the way, go forward in the fear of God. I see no reason why believers should not marry in the Lord. One thing I do not understand, and that is why, if you read the Word of God, you do not see the truth clearly and unmistakably. For in the Word of God it is plainly and clearly set forth that His commandments are binding upon all who live upon the face of the earth. There are no ifs or ands about this matter. It is the sure Word of God. He says, "Thou shalt," and "Thou shalt not." The earnest, sincere searcher for truth will not mistake truth for error. The Word of God is the bread of life, of which all may partake and obtain eternal life. Error is falsehood and deception. Those who partake of it must suffer in consequence, as did Adam and Eve in Eden. It is the privilege of all to search with prayerful, eager interest for the truth. Truth is the tree of life, the leaves of which the human family are to eat and live. Those who try to interpret the Word according to their own ideas, who read it in accordance with their opinions, will never see the truth and will die in their sins. Those who eat of the forbidden tree accept Satan's fallacies in the place of "Thus saith the Lord," and unless they repent, they will never gain that life which measures with the life of God. As did Adam and Eve, they exclude themselves from the tree of life, the fruit of which perpetuates immortality. There is a life and death question before you, my brother. We are living amid the solemnities of the judgment. Our souls should be filled with awe, for we are in God's presence continually. Each one must decide for himself whether he will obey and live, or disobey and perish. To those who obey, the Word of God is the tree of life. It is the word of salvation, received unto eternal life. Those who follow its teachings eat the flesh and drink the blood of the Son of God. Our destiny for eternity depends on the effect which this word produces on us. It possesses the elements necessary for the formation of a perfect character. The Christian is appointed to connect with God in such close relationship that his life is bound up with the life of Christ in the eternal life of God. In his wonderful prayer, Christ said, "Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which believe on me through their word." This takes in all who believe the gospel. "That they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee. That they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me." John 17, verse 20-21. Our unity and love for one another are the credentials by which we testify to the world that God has sent His Son to save sinners. "And the glory which Thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, and Thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that Thou hast sent me, and hast loved them, as Thou hast loved me." Verses 22-23. Every time I read this statement, it seems almost too good to be true. But I receive it and believe it, and I thank God for His full and abundant promises given on condition that we meet the standard of the righteousness of Christ. "Father, I will that they also whom Thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which Thou hast given me. For Thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world hath not known Thee, but I have known Thee, and these have known that Thou hast sent me. And I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. Verses 24 to 26. The word of life is that by which the Christian is to live. From this word we are to receive a continually increasing knowledge of truth. From it we are to gain light, purity, goodness, and a faith which works by love and purifies the soul. It is given us that we may be redeemed and presented faultless before the throne of divine glory. Wondrous victory gained by Christ in man's behalf. I leave you now to seek God with all your heart. As you do this, you will find Him.